Hello and welcome. Thanks for joining us here at Believers Victory Church. Today we have an inspiring, powerful message that will change your life. Let's listen in as Pastor Peggy Heal teaches us from the Word of God.
We've talked about spiritual health, how to be healthy spiritually. We've talked about mental health. We talked about that last week, how to be healthy mentally. And today we're going to talk about emotional health. God wants to bring health to our life in every area. He wants to bring health physically. He wants to bring health mentally. He wants to bring health emotionally. He wants to bring health spiritually, because God's going to take care of the whole you. Amen. When we get born again, God's not like, listen, you're born again, that's good, I got you spiritually, but the rest you're on your own. No, God's going to help us in every area. He's going to help us mentally. He's going to help us with, you know, that depression that you're struggling with, the anxiety you're struggling with, the fear you're struggling with. He's going to help in every area. And so today we're going to talk about feelings, because the truth of the matter is, we played the fun song, we can get hooked on a feeling, and that feeling can begin to be what directs our life. It can be what is leading our life. And you know what? Feelings were never meant to lead us. They're not meant to lead us. They're part of our life. And they're really a good part. The good feelings, the bad feelings, they're a part of our life. And we need those feelings. They're what makes us us. Amen? But they're not supposed to lead and direct our life. That's Jesus' job. Isn't that the job of the shepherd? And so I don't want to let my emotions take the place of the shepherd. So I got to learn how to manage my emotions, because we all have them. Some of us have more than others. How many met somebody who had a little more than others, right? Had a little more emotion than other people, and that's okay. God made you that way, and you know what? God's going to use that for your benefit. But we need to learn how to manage emotions, because we all have them, and we need to learn how to deal with them, right? So here we go. Let's get going on this. We're going to learn to deal with how you feel.
Hey, I like that.
That sounds good, doesn't it? Let's learn how to deal with how you feel. I got a million of them. All right, here we go. Somebody's like, I was afraid of that. Mark chapter 12. Let's turn to Mark chapter 12. We're going to look at verse number 29, 30. You can look up here. I encourage you to bring your Bible, bring your phone, bring your tablet, bring something that's got the Bible on it. Amen? Because here's the news. I say this all the time. It's never not going to be true, because we're never going to give it to you. You can't take this home. This screen stays here at church.
Yeah.
So you can't, like, put this in your living room and be like, oh, I'm going to do my devotion now and have this giant screen there. That's, you know, that's not going to happen.
Not so much.
You need to have your own thing. And so here's where we practice with it, so we know how to do it at home. And so here we go. Up here, Mark chapter 12, verse number 29 and 30 says, the most important commandment is this. This is Jesus talking. How many know when Jesus says something is the most important, we should pay attention? He says, the most important commandment is this. You must, not you can, you might want to, it's a good idea. No, he says, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind and all your strength. Notice there's a lot of alls in there. There's a whole lot of alls. And I've told this before, but I remember when I was in Bible college and one of our professors said that they spoke Greek, they spoke Hebrew, they were super smart, had lots of letters after their name, and they said they had done an exhaustive study of the word all. An exhaustive study of the word all. And he said, and he discovered that the word all means all. It means all. It never gets old, but it's true, because we got to think, because our mind immediately says, yeah, but, right? Yeah, but when Jesus said, I forgive all your sin, the enemy comes and says, yeah, but that one, not that one. It's too big. It's too juicy. It's too saucy. It's too bad, right? Where does, so I never even used that word before, saucy. Who have I been hanging out with? But the enemy always comes and says, oh, not that one. But the word all means all. And so when Jesus is saying here, he's saying the most important commandment. It's pretty important. It's the most important. The most important commandment is this, is that you really love God with everything, with all of you. And so, you know, sometimes people can come into church and you can be like, oh, that's just emotions. Well, you know, that's part of it. You know, when I worship, my emotions get into it. How about you? You know, I remember the first time that I was somewhere else. I was at a big conference. It was a big space, a lot of people singing. And I remember the first time I heard the song, Great I Am. First time I ever heard it. I'd never heard it before. And as I was singing this song, it just moved me. It moved me spiritually. It moved me emotionally. It moved me in every way. And I just began to weep. I just began to weep because I was just so caught up and I was just so caught up in the awe and the majesty of God. That song moved me, and it still does. I remember I came home, I told Scott, I was like, man, I heard this song, we gotta do this song. And first time I heard him sing it, you know, because he's got the best voice in the world to me, you know. First time I heard him sing it, I stood on the front row, I was just crying. He's like, what's wrong? What's the matter? I was like, oh, that song, it moves me. What's happening? We're giving it our all. All my mind, all my soul, everything. And so Jesus is saying there's a lot of emotion in here. And so we can see here that God wants us to love him passionately. Not, oh, yeah, I go to church, yeah, Jesus, blah, blah, blah. You know? Have you ever talked to somebody about, ask them about Jesus, and it's just like, that's it? That's all you got? You know? I mean, you know, we don't have to be jumping off the walls all the time. But, you know, there's got to be a deep passion from the inside, or there should be a deep passion. God's saying there should be a deep passion from the inside of us. Man, I love the Lord. Because, you know, things that you're not passionate about, you give up easy.
Yeah, that's true.
Things you're not passionate about, you give up easy. That's why some people are in church one day and out the next, because they don't have any passion. And, you know, you got to stir that passion up. You got to make a decision. Man, I'm going to give God my all. And that's what Jesus is saying here. He said the most important commandment is this. You got to give God everything. You got to give it all. Because if we leave stuff out, it's just going to be a mess. And so what I want us to see here is just how passionate and emotion-filled that verse is. Because it's not just from my spirit. It's not just from my mind. It's from every part of me. God's saying he wants us to love him from every part of us. And you say, well, I don't feel like I'm there yet. Just keep going. Just keep moving towards Jesus. Amen? Just keep moving towards him. And so the first thing we got to do in managing or how to deal with how we feel, we're going to manage our emotions or get a grip on our emotions. The first thing we got to do is we got to understand them. And number one thing, and this usually kind of shocks people, is to tell them that God has emotions as well. And people think, what? God has emotions? You know, like emotions somehow make you imperfect. Emotions do not make you imperfect. They make you you. And they're part of you. Emotions are part of you. They're not a sign of weakness. They're a sign of your humanity. They're a sign of how you were made. The Bible tells us in Genesis, it says, God said, let us make man in our image, in our likeness. And we see through the word of God, we see that God has emotions. Jesus wept because he was grieving. He was sad. Jesus laughed. Jesus rejoiced. God was frustrated with people. Amen? You know, so we see these emotions through the word, and we see that God had emotions. And so if God has emotions, they're not a negative part of me. Quit looking at your emotions as a negative part of you. They're not a negative part of you. They can become a negative influence on you, but they are not a negative part of you. They are a part of you, and God made you that way. God made us with emotions. He made us feel things. He made us cry. He made us where we cry at beautiful things. We cry at sad things. You know, he made us that way. And so let's not look at it like all that's weakness. No, that's part of me. That's part of you. So God has emotions. And my ability to feel really is a gift from God. I mean, thank God we're able to feel things, right? Thank God we're able to feel when a worship song moves us and we're able to feel that. And we're not just here like robots, like my cornerstone, thank God, right? I mean, I'm so grateful that I can feel things, that I can feel love for people, that I can feel joy, I can feel laughter, I can feel that, I can feel excitement, that we can feel these things. I'm so thankful. My ability to feel is a gift from God. It's not a burden that I have to bear. It's a gift from God. Amen? All the husbands say amen.
Amen.
Amen. But here we go. There's two extremes. You know, everything, Brother Hagin, you say, everything has a ditch on both, you know, the road has a ditch on both sides of the road. And so with emotions, there's two things that we want to avoid. One is emotionalism. And that's where everything is ruled by my emotions. If I feel like doing it, I'll do it. If I don't feel it, I'm not doing it. You know, all my decisions are based on how I feel. Everything is emotion driven. And my goal of life becomes to feel good. How many know that's not a good goal? That's not a good goal. No matter what the commercial tells you, that's not a good goal. And the Bible will show you that. Because here's what would happen. When my main thing or all that matters to me is how I feel, then my feelings become really an idol to me. Because they are directing my life and not God. How can I let God lead me as my shepherd if I'm being led by my emotions? You can only have one leader. There's only one leader. And so we got to make a decision who am I following? We've been saying all these weeks, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He leads me. He leads me. He leads me. But if my emotions are leading me because I'm into emotionalism, then God's not leading me. I'm being led by how I feel. And that's not going to be a good thing. And so another thing that we don't want to do, those two things we want to avoid is stoicism. It's where someone is very stoic. You've heard that word, stoic. And that means that feelings aren't important at all. And that's where I'm not going to go by my feelings. Feelings aren't important. I'm just going to push my feelings down, and it's going to be all intellect. Well, you know, that's not healthy. That's not healthy at all. And so what happens is both of these are extremes. And one of them, you know, some people are like, and it's always funny because I read in a book where it talked about where they said stuffers, people who stuff down their emotions, usually marry gushers, people who are just all emotion. So you have a stuffer married to a gusher. And so the stuffer is like, get a grip, right? Get a grip on yourself, you know? And the gusher is like, tell me how you feel. How do you feel? We want to know how you feel, you know? And it's all, so you got a stuffer and a gusher, and they're married, and then, you know, you got some issues there. And so usually, because a lot of times opposites do attract. How many figured that out? But the thing is opposites attract. I always say they attract, and then they attack because they're different, you know? It's like, I love you because you're so different from me, but then when you get married, you're like, okay, I want you to be just like me. And that doesn't work, right? And so you have stuffers and gushers, and they're together. And the thing is, both of those are a little off balance, right? I don't want to be ruled by my emotions. These are extremes. I don't want to be ruled by my emotions where it's all about how I feel. It's all about what makes me feel good, what makes me happy. Happy is based on happenings. It's based on what's happening around me that makes me happy. And so if it's, you know, my emotions, then I'm going to be ruled by that. And then I also don't want to be so stoic that I don't feel anything. You know, if you're stuffing all of your emotions, it's not healthy. And it's not a form of strength. Did you hear that? It's not a form of strength. Not dealing with things is not strength. Not dealing with things is really weakness. Because you're too afraid to deal with how you feel. And we're going to talk about that. So don't think, oh, I'm so stoic, I'm so strong. No, that's not the case. It's not the case at all. You're falling for a lie of the enemy. And so we don't want to get on either one of those extremes where it's all about my emotions or there's nothing in it. My emotions don't have any place. And so we need to look at one thing when you're talking about emotions is that the book of Psalms, if you have a difficult time with your emotions, the book of Psalms is all about emotions. Every emotion under the sun is in the book of Psalms. Everyone, every emotion there is, it's there. And it talks about, a lot of people think that Psalms is only praise and worship. No, there's anger, there's betrayal, there's lamenting. That's not a word we use a lot, but lamenting is complaining. You do it, you just say it, call it something different, right? It's lamenting, we're going on and on about things. And so, you know, the book of Psalm is all about that. It's just a constant thing about emotions, and it teaches us how to deal with our emotions, how to recognize emotions, how to understand that they're part of us. They're part of us, and we need to understand them. We need to work through them, and we're all at different spaces here. I mean, there's things I need to work through. There's things you need to work through, but we all need to make this one declaration. I'm not going to be ruled, and I'm not going to let my emotions rule and reign me. They're not the boss of me. We need to say to our emotions, you're not the boss of me. You're not the boss of me. You're not going to boss me. You're not going to tell me where I go and what I do and who I'm friends with and who I'm not and how I worship God and how I don't worship God. You're not going to tell me that because you're not the boss of me. Emotions are not the boss of me. And so there's a couple of things that we need to understand and why we need to learn how to manage our emotions. Number one is because my feelings are often unreliable. How many figured that out? My feelings are unreliable. They can lead me in the wrong direction. Feelings can lead me in the wrong direction. You know, have you ever been in a situation, and probably you have been, and I know I've been in this, where you have an assumption of how someone feels about you. You have an assumption of how someone feels about you. So you go into that situation based on what you think they feel about you. If you don't think somebody likes you, if you've heard something and you've heard somebody talk about you or you've heard somebody say that somebody talked about you, that's why I always say go to the source. Because you know what? Here's a newsflash. People lie. People lie. They lie about stuff, and they lie about you, and they lie to get themselves out of things. And we've all done it. Let's not look at like, oh, we've all been there, we've all done it. We just need to repent, right? But the thing is that if somebody has said, oh, that person doesn't even really like you. You know, I remember, you know, I'll just be honest with you. You know, I've been in a lot of very uncomfortable situations as a woman pastor. That's just the truth. That's reality. And you can't say it doesn't happen. It does happen. Just like I'm sure for whatever reason, maybe because of your race, because of your political party, because of whatever, you may have been in some uncomfortable situations where you're walking into a room where nobody thinks you should be there. No, you know, that's how you feel. You feel like nobody thinks you should be there. And so you walk in there, and if you're not careful, you'll let those feelings, you'll let like, oh man, nobody, I'm feeling left out. I'm feeling like I'm not part of the crew. I'm feeling like nobody likes me. I'm feeling like this. And if I let those feelings dictate me, and I've done it, or I walk in there, you got a big chip on your shoulder, like, oh, you don't think I should be here? I'm here, you know? And we react from that. And we're going to miss out on some things if we are ruled by our feelings, because you'll miss out on friendships. We think, oh, that person doesn't like me, so we avoid them when that's not even the case. Feelings will lie to you. Feelings will tell you that you're ugly. Feelings will tell you that you don't matter. Feelings will tell you that you're unimportant. Feelings will tell you that you're not called of God. Feelings will tell you that you're too old. Feelings will tell you that you're too big. Feelings will tell you all kinds of things, because the enemy's number one tool that he uses is negative emotions. Amen. He'll just pound over your head with negative emotions. You're too something. Yeah. You're too something. You're too something to be here. You're too something to be here. And so the enemy does that. And then if we believe them, then we're going to act like that. There's people in this room today, you feel like you're too old. You're too uneducated. You're too whatever to step into what God is stirring on the inside of your heart to do. And that God has a plan for your life, but you're believing a feeling. You're not going by what God has spoken to you. You're going by what your feelings are saying to you. And so the number one reason why I got to learn how to manage my feelings is because feelings, they're often very unreliable. They are unreliable. Proverbs 14:12 says this. There is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end, it leads to death. And death is the opposite of living. It's the opposite of living. That's a newsflash, right? Death is the opposite of living. You know, you can die long before you take your last breath. That's pretty good right there. You can die long before you take your last breath. And so it says there's a way that seems right to a man. And just because something seems right doesn't mean it is right. Doesn't mean it is right. And so another reason why I need to learn, I'm going to give you four reasons why we need to learn how to manage our feelings. Number two is because I don't want to be manipulated. If you're always guided by feelings, other people are going to take advantage of you. Other people are going to take advantage of you. There are people, salespeople and marketers, they are trained to pull on your heartstrings to get you to make decisions. If you don't believe that, watch a Thanksgiving Publix commercial. Right? Right? I mean, those are like, oh, right here. You know? What do they make you want to do? They make you want to run out and buy all that food and be like, I'm going to have this. You know, advertisers and marketers are constantly manipulating, trying to get you to think that if you have their product, you can feel like the people in their commercials. If you have that beer, you can have that fun. If you have that car, you can have that life. And that's not true. Just because you have a Jeep doesn't mean you're cool. But how many know Jeep commercials, man? That's their thing, man. If you got this, you're cool. Listen, I've seen some Jeep drivers. They don't look that cool to me. But they're trained. I mean, how many of us ever bought something because we're in that moment and that salesperson, you know, they start selling, you know, oh, your family's going to love it. Think of all the good times you'll have in this, blah, blah, blah. Next thing you know, you're driving off the lot with a car payment you can't afford. Right? We don't even need to raise our hand for that one. They're trained to do that. Why? Because if you're ruled by your feelings, you'll be manipulated. And I don't want to be manipulated. Proverbs 25:28, this is such a powerful verse. This is out of the New American Bible. And it says this, like an open city with no defense is the man with no check on his feelings. Isn't that so good? Like an open city with no defenses is the man with no check on his feelings. You know what else will try to manipulate you through feelings is your old nature. We talked about our old nature last week. That old nature, let me go back to what's comfortable. Comfort is a feeling. And it'll rob you from the things that God has for you. It'll rob you from a lot of stuff. Another translation of that same verse out of the New Living Translation says this, a person without self-control is as defenseless as a city with broken down walls. We need to be able to control our emotions. Because I don't know about you, but my emotions have gotten the best of me before. And there was a time in my life, years ago, long before I stood behind a pulpit, but years ago where I was very emotional. I was just an emotional person. And just everything was about emotion. It was so much drama. You know, if you're not careful, you can get addicted to drama. You can get addicted to it. You want the swirl. You want the chaos around your life because then you don't have to deal with your own life. You don't have to deal with what's really going on because you're either stirring something up or you're constantly in the mix. Talk about it. Talk about it. And that's not a healthy place to be. Yeah. It's not healthy. It's not beneficial. And it's not going to take you where you want to go. And just honestly, mostly women fall into that. And, you know, don't shoot the daggers. It's just the truth. Women, it's that cattiness, that talking about people, that when everybody's, you know, when that friend's not there, we're going to talk about that friend. And we're going to stir up the drama. And it's just constant turmoil. And, you know, it's like my dad would say, you carry a spoon. You carry a big spoon because you're always stirring stuff up. You're always stirring. My dad would be like, put the spoon away. But when we would start going at it, my brother and I, he would be like, put the spoon away. We don't need to stir anything up, you know? And it's true. Some people just carry a spoon. They got like a giant spoon. Everywhere they go, oh, did you hear about that? You know what they said, right? You know who they're dating, right? You know what they, you know how, you know this, right? You know, it's not healthy. And the reason that we do it is because we want to live externally because we can't deal with what's going on internally. Did you grab a hold of that? It's being caught up in those emotions. And there's a fix. Amen. I'm very thankful. I've been fixed. You know, I got the fix, thank God. Because you can't be successful in life until you get the fix. And the fix is Jesus. And so, you know, it's that a person without self-control is just defenseless as a city with broken down walls. Because the enemy is going to come in like a flood, and he's going to draw people to you. He's going to draw the same kind of people to you. And you know, when you do get the fix, you may have to cut some ties because you don't want to be in that pot. It's like, you know, you see, you know, it's Halloween time and all that. And, you know, you see all the witches standing around the big pot and they're putting stuff in it. It's churning and it's bubbling. What, oh, a cauldron. It's called a cauldron. And they're doing that. You know, there's some people that never move away from that cauldron. They'll never move away from it. But if you want to move away from it, you got to move away from it. If somebody else wants to stand by it, just keep throwing stuff and stirring stuff, then let them. You can't do anything about it. But you can move away. Amen? And so I don't want to be manipulated. 1 Peter 5:8 says this, be self-controlled and alert. Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking for someone to devour. Be self-controlled and alert. Don't let your emotions get the best of you. Another reason why I want to learn to manage my emotions is because I want to please God. Amen. I want to be pleasing to the Lord. God can't be in my life if my God can't be in my life the way I want him to be if my emotions rule my life. How can God be my Lord and Savior? Lord means that I look to him as my lead. He's my shepherd. He leads, I follow. How can I say Jesus is my shepherd and I'm following him if I'm constantly following my emotions? If my emotions are ruling my life, then God is not. Because they're not going to go together. And so another reason why I want to get a grip on my emotions, I want to be pleasing to the Lord. Romans chapter 8, verses 6 through 8 says, to be controlled by human nature results in death. To be controlled by human nature results in death. To be controlled by the Spirit results in life and peace. Those who obey their human nature cannot please God. We can't please God. You know, I look back and I look back on my life and just some of just the emotional craziness that, you know, just stupid drama things that I did that I'm so embarrassed by now. I'm so thankful I'm not that person anymore. I'm so thankful. I mean, I used to have the worst temper. I mean, and people that know me now, they just find that very hard to believe. But I used to have a very bad temper. I've told the story about, you know, I've broken a few things. You look back on it now, it's kind of funny, but at the time, it's really very sad that you're so out of control that you can't stop breaking something. You're going to have to pay to replace. How smart is that? You know? I mean, that's just dumb. But, you know, I was that person, and I look back on that, and I think, man, who was that? That was a broken person who had feelings that they were letting control them. And really, those feelings usually have a root. And if you don't deal with the root, it's not like all of a sudden you can be like, I'm not going to feel that way anymore. And then move on with your life and be a total, no, it doesn't I wish it happened like that, but it doesn't. But, you know, I look back on things and I think of some things that I've done that are so, I don't know if this is the right word, Vilya, tell me later, unpleasing. Is that a word? Is unpleasing a word? I don't know if that's a word. We'll have to check it. It is today. But just so unpleasing to the Lord. And I look back on that and I'm just like, oh, thank God. Thank God. Because I want to get a grip on my emotions so that I'm pleasing to the Lord. Amen? Because ultimately that's what we should live for. Amen. And the last reason why I want to get learn to manage my, I keep wanting to say get a grip, but I don't want to use that term. The reason I want to manage my emotions, it's just better, it sounds better. Manage my emotions is because it's a fact that they call it your EQ, your emotion quotient, it's kind of like your IQ, which is your intelligence quotient. Like some people have a very high IQ. They're very, very smart, but they have a very, very low EQ. And you know what? That person's never going to be successful because it's a proven fact that if you have a low EQ, that you're not going to be able to be very successful because you have to be able to get along with people. Yeah. You got to be able to get along with people. And so there's been countless books written about improving your EQ because everybody knows you got to have a good EQ to get ahead in life. If you can't get along with anybody, if nobody wants to work with you because you have such a low EQ And you're just, you know, they don't know. I used to work for this guy, and he was my boss, and he was older. He was about ready to retire, and he had never moved past a certain point. And looking back, I was very young then. I didn't know. But you never knew what the day was going to be like for this guy. One day you'd come in, and he'd just be a barrel of laughs. He'd be super fun, and he'd be just the best boss ever. The next day you came in, he would be like, people would get you at the door and be like, oh, he's in a bad mood today. And you'd just come in like walking on eggshells. You just never knew. And he couldn't get along with his area supervisor. He couldn't get along with anybody. Nobody liked him. And it stifled his career. Even though he was very smart, he knew what he was doing, but just nobody knew how to deal with him. What happened? He couldn't get a grip on his emotions. If something made him mad, he just went off. He would go off. He'd go off on anybody around. And you know what? I'll tell you what. In the society, in the day we live in right now, there's no way he'd still be employed. Those were different days. There's no way in the day we live in now. People just don't put up with that stuff anymore. And you know what? Good for them. You know, I look back on some things that I put up with, and I'm thinking, man, good for people standing up and saying, I'm not going to deal with that anymore. Good for you. Because just because it was accepted doesn't mean it should be accepted, right? You know, let's do better. We know better, let's do better. And so we need to get a grip on get a grip. Proverbs 5:23 says this, people get lost and die because of their foolishness and lack of self-control. I remember reading an article about some football players, they were college football players, and you know, to play college football is quite an accomplishment, and they were playing for a big school, and they had gone out, and they had made just one night, man, they had gone out and just made such stupid decisions that it cost them their future in the NFL. Everything they had worked for. I mean, you don't just show up on a college football team. I mean, you work to get there. Those guys have been playing football since they were in Pee Wee League, and they've had a dream of playing in the NFL, and they ruined it. I remember reading the article, and these guys everybody said these were good kids. They were good, but they just made really, really bad choices in one night because they got around the wrong people. They couldn't control themselves. They did what they felt like doing, and it cost them. And I remember reading that thing and, oh, I felt so bad for those guys. Because I was like, man, what a waste. What a waste of talent. What a waste of a future that they had. All that work that they put into there. How many people do we know, they have lost their careers, they have lost their reputations because they've done what felt good. They've done what felt good. What a sad thing. What a sad thing. I was at a meeting this week over at, it's called Church United, where all the churches from Palm Beach County get together, and they had in this speaker, he was probably one of the best speakers I ever heard in my life, and he was speaking on a lot of things. One of the things he said, he was talking about our feelings and how feelings can just get you into trouble, and just because you feel a certain way, just because you have a desire for something doesn't mean it's right. Doesn't mean it's right. Doesn't mean it's going to lead you to life. And he said he remembers meeting with this pastor, and the pastor came in and said, you know, he said, I want to let you know I'm having an affair with my secretary, and, you know, I believe God's okay with it. I believe God's okay with it because I just don't feel this way towards my wife anymore. And how could it be wrong if all these feelings that I have and all these desires I have for my secretary and I, we get along so well. We just melt together. And how could it be wrong if it feels? And this is a pastor saying this. A pastor saying this. What happened? He's letting how he feels just totally just. Push aside everything he's probably been preaching for 20 years because he feels it. Listen, we've got to manage our emotions. That's an extreme situation, but I tell you, it happens all the time. It happens all the time. You know, people, we have a feeling. We want to feed that feeling, and it's costing us our marriages. It's costing us our relationship with our children. It's costing careers. It's costing promotions. It's costing reputations. We have to be able to manage our emotions because those feelings will get you into trouble. They'll get you in trouble every time. 1 Peter 4:2 says this, From now on, you must live the rest of your earthly lives controlled by God's will and not by human desires. We just sang a song, Jesus, our cornerstone. The cornerstone is what we measure. You measure to. When we're making decisions, we need to drag it to the cornerstone, which is Jesus, Christ alone, and say, what does Jesus say about this? Not how do I feel about it? Listen, if I did everything I felt, number one, I'd be fired. Totally, because I would say things I shouldn't say. I'd be fired. And so would you probably. How many of us, you know, our boss is talking to us sometimes and we're just like, I feel this way and I need to own my feelings. And so I'm just going to let it out. You're going to let that out in the unemployment line is what you're going to do. Because it's just because you feel it, number one, doesn't mean it's right. And if it is right, doesn't mean it's the right time, doesn't mean it's the right manner, doesn't mean that it's what you're supposed to do at that moment. I want to make decisions based on what God says to do, what wisdom says to do, not just because I had a feeling. And, you know, I don't want to do that. And so here's how we do it. Here's how we manage unwanted feelings. You guys ready? Here's how we do it. Number one, you got to name them. You got to recognize that's a feeling. You can't manage something that you can't identify. You can't do it. You can't manage something you can't identify. And here's what I mean by that. A lot of times we're reacting, and here's what I meant when I was so emotional and there were root things going on. We're reacting, and our emotions are coming out, and we're going off on some things, and we're like, oh, I'm angry. But the real question is, why are you angry? What's making you feel that way? You have to make that decision. What's making me feel this way? What's making me feel like I have to be the center of attention? I have to draw all the attention to me. Where's that coming from? It's probably coming from that you don't think you're important, and so you're going to make yourself important. Maybe nobody told you when you were growing up that you were valuable, that you were important. You don't know who you are in Christ. And so when we don't know who we are in Christ, we're trying to get other things to tell us, to fill us up and tell us who we are. If we're not careful, we'll let men do it. We'll let women do it. We'll let people of the opposite sex come and say, some people are so hooked on that new feeling of a new relationship that they can't last in a relationship because they can't get past the part where it's all you're wonderful. How many know that's how a new relationship starts? You're wonderful. Everything is new. Everything is fabulous. Everything is good. And you don't know all these things about me. And I don't want to get past that because I don't want to deal with those feelings. So we've got to be able to say, you know, why am I feeling that way? We really need to be, and I know this sounds, you know, I don't want to go all Dr. Phil on us, but we need to be in touch with our feelings. Sometimes we're lashing out at our spouses when really what we're not angry with our spouse, we're angry with something, or we're hurt by something somebody said. Somebody criticized me. Somebody said I didn't do something right, or somebody corrected me, or something like that at work, and now I'm going to come home, and I'm going to take it out on you. Well, am I mad at you, or am I upset with what happened? See, when I'm getting all emotional, I need to stop and say, all right, where's this coming from? Where's it coming from? Is it coming from I've been hurt? You hurt my feelings? And that happens. We're emotional people. Our feelings get hurt. Doesn't mean you're weak. Means you're human. Right? But it's how we deal with that. You know, I don't ever want to get to the point where I don't get my feelings hurt. And here's why. Because if I do, I become cynical. And I don't want to be cynical. And it's a very easy place to go in the world we live in. Because people are just mean. You know? They're just mean. And so we need to name what's going on. We need to ask ourselves, man, where's that coming from? Because I need to define, what am I feeling? Why am I feeling this way? In Psalms 55:2, David said it like this. He said, my thoughts are restless and I am confused. Sometimes we're like, I don't even know why I feel this way. Well, that's why the Holy Ghost to help you. We need to ask ourselves a really good question to ask ourselves when we're just really feeling some things, really emotional, is why am I feeling this way? You know, if we're, you know, a lot of times it comes back to shame. It comes back to shame. It comes back to feeling abandoned. It comes back to feeling neglected. It comes back to feeling left out. It comes back to all these things. And so the fruit is I'm lashing out at people. I'm not in healthy relationships. I can't manage my emotion. That's the fruit of it. But the root of it is I need to get that stuff from Jesus. Because you know what? There's always going to be a time when you're left out. I don't care how popular, how pretty, how thin you are. There's going to be a time when you're left out. There's going to be a time where people don't invite you. That is life. And if it hasn't happened, it will. There's going to be a time where we feel abandoned, where somebody that we trusted to be by our side, we trusted to be with us to the end, and we're going to look to our right and they're not going to be there. We're going to be like, man, what happened? And the enemy will come and say it was you. You did something. Because the enemy loves negative emotions. He loves them. And so we need to really ask ourselves, man, what's really going on? I heard a pastor say this and I thought it was so good, I stole it. He said, I must name it in order to tame it. Isn't that good? Listen, if you're in fear, you got to be able to talk about that. Because if you're afraid to talk about it, then fear is winning. If you're afraid of, you know, some people, they live in a constant state of losing everything. It's just the enemy has just snuck in there and planted some seeds. You're going to lose everything. You're going to lose your family. You're going to lose your job. You're going to lose this. This good stuff can't last. It can't last. And he'll just constantly tell you that. You got to name that. You got to name that and say no. And then we'll talk about what you do. You got to speak some truth to it. But don't live in that. You got to be able to talk about it. You got to find somebody you can talk about. You got to tell fear it can't control you. And tell people, man, I'm dealing with this. I'm dealing with fear. I'm dealing with shame. I'm dealing with the fear of constantly being found out. The people are going to find out I don't deserve the job that I have. I don't deserve the family that I have. And you know what the solution to that is? I know there's people that deal with that. Is you know what? You're right. You don't deserve it. You get it because God's good. Amen. Amen? You get it because God is good. You get it because of mercy. You get it because of forgiveness. You get it because of the power of God. We don't deserve anything, but thank God we get it anyway. Amen. Tell the enemy, you're right. I have made a lot of really, really dumb mistakes, and I don't deserve this position, and I don't deserve to be here. But you know what? You're not the last word. God's the last word. And God put me here anyway. Amen. God put me here anyway. Next thing we do about those negative emotions is you got to challenge them, just like we just did. You challenge those words with the truth. David asked God to help him evaluate his feelings. That's a good thing to do. You know, when we're feeling a certain way, we can cry out like David did and say, Lord, show me. Let me find out the truth here. I want to find out the root of this. Help me find the root. Because you know what? There's a lot of stuff that happens when we're kids. And our parents, they do the best job they can. And usually they're just making the same mistake their parent does. So don't blame your parent. Rise above it. Amen. Love your parent. Realize there's no such thing as a perfect parent. The only perfect parent is Jesus. The only perfect parent is God the Father, right? And even God the Father, his kids screwed up too. Think about that, right? I mean, Adam and Eve, God created them. He was their father. And they were in the perfect place. The perfect place with no tension, no stress, no job. They didn't even have a job. They didn't have kids. They didn't even have to figure out what they were going to wear that day. And they still screwed up. And so parents, if your kids are screwing up, just be like, well, you know, I'm with God. God's, you know, his kids screwed up too, right? And then look, we can't, as kids, stuff happens to us and our parents do the best job they can. But let's not stay in that. Amen. Let's rise above. The Bible says we've been raised up with Christ now. Yeah. Let Jesus raise you up out of that. Let him heal those wounds. But if you keep them hidden, he can't heal them. If you won't let them out, he can't heal them. If you keep stuffing them down, they're going to keep popping up. They're going to pop up in your marriage. They're going to pop up in your job. They're going to pop up in your worship. They're going to pop up. They're like whack-a-mole. You put them down here and they pop up somewhere else. We got to deal with them. Stuff happens. You know, stuff happens to us. We all got stuff. And so when we have it, though, we've got to challenge it. We got to say, all right, you know, David said this in Psalm 26:2. This is so good. It's out of the New Living Translation. He said, Lord, cross-examine me. Isn't that what they do? How many like Law and Order? What do they do on Law and Order? They're like, man, I'm going to get to the truth, right? You know, remember the movie, there's that movie, A Few Good Men. You can't handle the truth, right? You can't handle the truth. What happened? They got to the truth. And if you let God cross-examine you, you'll get to the truth. You'll get to like, man, this is because I was, you know, I was the last of seven kids and you know, and they forgot about me a couple of times. That's where this is coming from. That happened to me. You know, don't cry. I'm over it. But, you know, the thing is, you know, I was the last of seven kids. By the time I was around, my parents were like, wow, another one, you know? I mean, it was, you know, I remember as a little kid, just I would leave a note like, nobody loves me. You know, I mean, how dramatic. I was such a drama queen, you know, and my dad would find it. He'd be like, what is this ridiculousness? You know, my dad has no time for that. And he would come, and you know what he would do? He would challenge that. He would say, you know you are loved because of this, because of this, because of this, because of this. He would remind me of truth. And you know what? If my biological, natural dad can do that, how much more than my Heavenly Father can do that? Amen? When we've got those feelings, and it's the same thing popping up all over, and you know what? You may not be aware of them, but if you're in relationship after relationship after relationship, and none of them are healthy, ask somebody who loves you the truth. Ask somebody to tell you where your blind spot is, because we all have one, and it's usually as a result of something that's happened to us. What's that blind spot? Ask the Lord. David said, Lord, cross-examine me, test my motives and my affections. The word affections is another word for emotions. God, see, if you really want to know where stuff is coming from, you really want to challenge it and quit just reacting, but getting down to the root of stuff, we've got to do that. God's looking to make us healthy. Healthy spiritually, healthy mentally, healthy physically, and healthy emotionally. As faith people, we're trying to jump over this like it doesn't matter, it doesn't exist, and that's not healthy. It's not healthy. If it worked, there'd be no divorces in a faith camp. If it worked, there'd be no depression. If it worked, there'd be no anxiety. If it worked, there'd be perfect little families. That doesn't work. You got to deal with emotions. You have to deal with them. Sometimes we need a friend to challenge us. I know everybody loves the book of Job. Actually, nobody does, I don't think. But you know what? When Job was wallowing in his emotions, and a lot of people don't understand Job. They don't read the whole thing. You know, like, you know, people that don't know anything about the Bible, they know about Job's boils. You ever notice that? You know, you start talking about the goodness of God. People never been to Sunday school a day in their life. They'll be like, what about Job's boils? You know, how do they know that? I don't know, but they know, you know. But the thing about it is people don't realize is at the end, Job repented. But one of the reasons why he did is he had a good friend, and his friend was Eliphaz. I just love that name, Eliphaz. That'd be a good name for a dog, wouldn't it? Come here, Eliphaz. I'm looking for dog number four. I'm not getting him, but I'm hoping. I was, you know, you guys know one of our dogs passed away a while back. Our little Chloe died. It was really sad. We were very emotional about it. We were very sad about it. And so yesterday I was looking. I have three dogs now, and I was like, it has been probably, I don't know, almost 20 years since I've only had three dogs. We've always had four dogs. And I was like, I need to talk to your daddy about this. but Eliphaz, now that'd be a good dog name. Name him, call him Faz, right? Right? It's not going to happen, I can tell you right now. I'm looking at him, he's like, nope, not going to happen. But Eliphaz asked Job, why has your heart carried you away? Talking about his emotions. We could say, why has your emotions carried you away? And why do your eyes flash? He's like, why? How many have ever let your emotions carry you away? You're in love and married first day you met somebody. What happened? Your emotions carried you away. Right? You don't even know if that person's born again. You don't even know if they go to church. But you're like, oh, they're the one. They're the one. Did you see how they looked at me? That's why did you let your heart carry you away? They're going to carry you away right where you don't want to go. And so we need to give somebody in our lives, somebody who loves us, the opportunity to just say, you know, hey, you know, I, you know, maybe not in the moment, right? Let's use some wisdom. But why are you feeling that way? Why are you angry? Are you angry because you can't control the situation? Or are you angry about, you know, for me, I hate slow service at a restaurant. It's just my thing. I mean, I really need to get better about it. Because I'm just like, when something is really bad, like, I feel like I came home, I told Scott, I was like, I was held hostage. I mean, I'm pretty dramatic, you know. I was held hostage at 2J's today. It's like they would not give me the check. It was 45 minutes, and I'm just like the whole time. And Joe and Christina, the whole time, I'm like, oh, you know what is happening? I mean, it was just torture for me. And you know, but the thing about it is all, I let my emotions just get away. I mean, I'm complaining. I'm like making sarcastic, funny comments. But you know what? Here's the thing. None of it helped. Not one bit of it helped. And then I came home and complained about it some more. I was like, I really felt like I was held hostage, you know, drama much, you know. I could not leave, and I wanted to leave. It's so, so funny. And so we need to ask ourselves, what's the real reason I'm feeling this? And if I'm really honest with myself, the real reason I'm probably feeling that is because I can't control the situation. And I this may come as a newsflash, but I like to control things. It's like when I'm ready to go, I want to go. And I don't want you to tell me I can't go. I want to go. And so that's really probably the root of it is I want to go. You're not letting me go. And this is really testing my patience. And I'm going to be angry about it. And I didn't curse the person out. And I still left a nice tip, you know. But I was like, geez. And I really let it go into my day. I was like, man, it's like taking, you know, an hour of my day. I got things to do. I got places to go. I got people to see, you know. I mean, I'm like... going off about it. But you know, what's the real reason I'm feeling that? It's really probably, if I want to be honest and transparent, because I like to control things, and if I'm like, check please, I want to go. I'm ready to go. And so it comes out. So you pray for me and pray for Scott, because that's something that I got to deal with. Right? And so three questions we need to ask ourselves. Number one, what's the real reason I'm feeling this? What's the real reason? Number two, is it true? Is it true? When we start feeling things like nobody likes me, that's not true. Your mom likes you, right? That's somebody, right? Those nobodies, never, ever, everyone, those are very big words that are very, 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 very seldom true. So when you're feeling nobody loves me, well, is that true? No, that's not true. God loves you. Your mom loves you. I mean, if nothing else, your mom usually loves you, right? Yeah? Your dad loves you. You know, we love you. And number three, when those emotions are coming up, is it helping or hurting me? You know, getting angry about slow service, it's not going to help anything. But it's going to hurt me because it's going to affect the rest of my day. And I'm going to come home and be a drama queen and lay it all out for Scott, and he's going to have to deal with it. And, you know... And these are little, like, minor things, but if we're not careful, we can't manage in minor things and we can't manage in major things. If you can't manage your emotions in minor things, then don't expect to be able to manage them in major things. If you can't hold your cool with a waitress, you're not going to be able to hold your cool with big things, right? If you can't hold your cool when the doors are shut, nobody else knows what you're saying but your wife, man, God knows. God knows what you're saying. And we've got this idea that I can do whatever I want at home where nobody's there but my wife or my husband, but that doesn't count. Oh, it counts. It counts greatly. It counts more. It counts more how you treat your spouse. And so the next thing we're gonna do to take care of these, and we gotta go here, is we gotta tame it. We gotta tame those thoughts. And this is really where it kind of gets rubber meets the road. You gotta tame those thoughts. And you know what? Like I said, it's like whack-a-mole. Things, you know, you get a grip here and then it pops up somewhere else. And the enemy loves to push your button, you know? Like probably for the next week, I'm just going to be on the lookout for slow service because the enemy's going to try to push my button. He's like, man, I almost got you last week. I'm going to try again. You know? I almost got you to lose your cool last week. I'm going to try again. I'll probably be waiting there for 2 hours, you know? But you know what? And this is what I do because we want to tame that. And this is the truth. You know, I can be impatient and I can be like, let's go, you know. I mean, I grew up, my dad would say this, one of my dad's favorite things to say, who are we waiting on? Who are we waiting on? Because my dad is ready to go. He's 85, he's going to be 85. No, he is 85. He's 85 years old and he's still that way. Who are we waiting on? Let's go. And so I'm like that too. Let's go. Who are we waiting on? Let's go. When I'm in a restaurant, I'm like, all right, come on, everybody, get ready. What are you going to order? Let's go. Let's be ready. Let's be ready, right? And so that's how I am. But when I feel that getting like a little, like that's getting a little untamed, you know what I'll do? This is a true story. I'll go to Publix. When I got a big shopping cart, I'll get in the longest line. There's a little lady at my Publix. If you go to my Publix, you're going to know who I'm talking about. There's a little lady. She's a cashier. She is the slowest cashier. Oh, my word. Oh, my word. Scott got in her line one time. I was like, no. Not today, babe. Not today. But here's what happens. If I feel those emotions like getting where they need to be taught a lesson, they need to be told you're not the boss of me, I'll go get in that lady's line. And I will stand. I'll let people go in front of me. And on the inside, I'm like, ugh! But you know what I'm doing? I'm taming it. I'm saying, you're not the boss of me. I choose patience. I choose to be bigger than this feeling. I choose. And you know what I'm doing? You say, that's silly. It's not silly, because you know what it does? It works. It works. I get in that lady's line, and I just put my stuff up one at a time, because she goes so slow, it's okay. One at a time. And I'm super friendly to her, and I talk to her, and I just love on her, and she's just a real joy. She's just very, very slow. How many go to my Publix? You know what I'm talking about. You know who I'm talking about, right? Is she slow or what, right? She's slow, but she's so sweet. And when she's on the express line, I'm like, oh, dear Lord, dear Lord. What? What is happening? There's a glitch in the matrix. This should not be happening. But this is what we do. We because Philippians 2:5 says your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. Jesus would wait. Jesus would wait. Sometimes we just got to be like, you know what? I'm going to wait. I'm going to be patient. I'm going to tame that feeling. I'm going to tame it. And when we're angry with people, we just got to push that down and say, no, you are not the boss of me. I am going to choose to act differently. I am going to choose to have a different attitude. I recognize that feeling. I recognize that emotion. And you will not boss me. You will not. We got to tame those things. Because if you don't, they'll run you. They will run you. And so how do we do that? Zechariah 4:6 says this. You will not succeed by your own strength or power, but by my spirit, says the Lord all-powerful. And I'm going to tell you, this is the last thing. You got to recognize where feelings come from. You got to recognize. You got to not let them be the boss of you. It's a work of the flesh. Feelings are part of your soul, a work of the flesh. They're great. They're wonderful. I love to laugh. I love to have fun. I love to joke. Those are all the great side of it. But that anger and all that kind of stuff, you know, and listen, anger's not a bad thing unless you let it lead you to sin. You can channel anger. You know, people, you've been a victim of things, or you're passionate about stuff, or you're angry about politics and things that are happening in the world. You're angry about it. Don't let that lead you into sin and lead you into hate and lead you into those things. Let it lead you into passion for changing it the way you feel like it should be. Let that channel that anger and be like, man, I'm going to be a force to be reckoned with in this situation. I'm going to work to make things right. You can channel that. But we can't let emotions dictate us. We got to tame them. And you can't do it without the number one helper when it comes to emotions. You want to be emotionally healthy. Here's the kicker. Here, if you hear nothing else, listen to this. It's being filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Holy Ghost. You know where I got change in my life, where I stopped breaking phones and throwing things and just being a jerk? You know where I got, you know, and I'm still growing just like you're still growing. You know where I got that? I got filled with the Holy Ghost. Yes. And not only filled with the Holy Ghost, I began to recognize I need to change. I want to be more Spirit-led than emotionally led. Yes. To be more Spirit-led, I got to be more Spirit-filled. Yes. To be more Spirit-filled, I got to spend more time with God. And I need to pray in the Spirit. Yes. You know what was for me, how I got victory over stuff? I mean, I joke about, you know, things like that, but I'll tell you what, I can sit with anybody. I can sit with people that can't stand me, and it doesn't really even bother me anymore. I'm just like, you know what? I love you. If you don't like me, it's okay, because God likes me. God loves me. You know, I've come so far, and I don't say that in a boastful way. I say that to give glory to Jesus. Amen. I say that to give glory to him of all the, just the amazing change he has made in me emotionally. And it has happened because I pray in the Spirit. I pray in the Spirit. That's why. People say, man, how did you change so much? People that knew me, like they would ask me when I was changing, and it was just so evident to the people in my life. They're like, man, what are you doing? I was like, man, I'm praying in the Spirit. I'm praying in the Spirit because you know what? There are things in me I don't know how to fix. How about you? Amen. There are hurts in me I don't know how to fix. Or they were. I don't know how to fix them. There are things that people have said to you, you don't know how to fix it. But when we pray in the Holy Ghost, the Bible says we are praying mysteries. We don't know what it is, but God knows what it is. It's bypassing my head. It's bypassing me trying to figure it out. It's bypassing Dr. Phil telling me what it is. It's bypassing all of that. And it's going right to the throne room of God. Yeah. And I'm getting the answers that I need, the healing I need, the victory that I'm getting, everything I need just downloaded right into me when I pray in the Spirit. It doesn't happen in one time. It happens over a period of time. Yeah. You want to get to the point where you can be at peace, where you can be at peace with who you are, with your limitations, with where you are. You can be at peace with it, and you can be content with it. You know, like, you know what, Lord, I'm going to be happy. I'm going to be joy-filled and happy where I'm at, but I'm still going to push for what you have for me. The only way to do that is be filled with the Spirit. That's the only way. Man, you got successful people. They are never happy. They are never joyful. It's always they need something else before they're going to be happy. Man, don't be that person. Man, when I have this, then. When I have this, then. No, now.
Yes.
Amen? Now God wants to do. The Bible says now faith is. Real change from the inside out. You want to learn how to manage your emotions? Number one, you got to recognize, you got to realize where they come from. And if you don't know, ask God. Lord, cross-examine me. I can handle the truth. Show me where it is. And then pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Because when we do that, the Bible says we undergird ourselves. We strengthen ourselves. God does a work in us. You say, well, that seems selfish. I should pray for other people. Listen, you can't help other people if you're a big bundle of emotions. You're gonna stand by that cauldron and keep throwing stuff in. You got to get away from there and be like, Lord, help me. Amen? Lord, help me. And so let's pray together. Father, I pray for everybody here. Lord, I know there are people here that are having a hard time with their emotions. They're having a hard time with sadness. They're having a hard time with disappointment. They're disappointed with where they are right now. They're disappointed with the way things have worked out in life. And it's just become a snowball where there's no joy. There's no joy. There's no joy. It's affecting every area of their life. It's affecting their marriage. It's affecting their kids. It's affecting how they see themselves. They're starting to see themselves as a loser, as somebody that's never going to make it. Starting to see themselves as a failure, somebody that just keeps trying and just keeps falling. Lord, I thank you. I pray right now that these people, and I know by the Spirit of God, you're here today and you're dealing with these things. And you won't talk to anybody, probably because you're a man. I don't know who you are, but it's probably because you're a man and men don't like to talk about this stuff. But you know what? You need to. You need to. Because the more you stuff those feelings down, the more ammunition the enemy has to just beat on you. God's looking to do a work. God's looking to do a work in you to help you manage those emotions. Yeah, it is disappointing when stuff happens. Yeah, it is a bummer when things happen. But you know what? God can help you move through it. He can help you move through it. Where you don't stay in that valley, but you walk through it. God can help you. But you got to, number one, recognize those negative words. Why am I feeling that way? Why am I feeling that way? Let God help you. Begin to tame it. Begin to tell it, no, no, you're not the boss of me. And pray in the Holy Ghost so that God can strengthen you, heal you, help you, encourage you, build you, make you stronger from the inside out. That's what needs to happen. There's no wand that we can wave over you and everything be okay. It doesn't work that way. We got to walk through that valley. But Jesus is with you. He's your shepherd, and he'll lead you out of it. He'll lead you out of it. But you got to get behind him. Tell your feelings they don't boss you. Tell your feelings they don't own you. Tell your feelings they're just a part of you. They're not the whole you. I am not how I feel. I am who God says I am. Oh, I thank you, Lord. Father, I pray for there. I know there's a couple people in here you need to hear that word. I pray for you right now that you don't walk out of here and just be like in one ear and out the other, but you decide today, I'm going to transform. I'm going to transform. I'm going to let God transform me by changing the way I think. Oh, I thank you, Lord. I pray for all of us here today that today we get a better grip on our feelings. We get a grip on them. And we don't let feelings rule us. We let God rule us. Oh, I thank you for that, Lord. Help us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen. And God's so good. He's so good.